So he said, when you want to pray, that's what you say. And listen to how Jeremiah gave the instruction to Sariah. It said, verse 61, then Jeremiah said to Sariah, as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words aloud and say, thou, O Lord, now this is what prayer is. I taught a message that time, I called it Poor Jonah, Activating Prophecy by Prayer. You should try and get it and listen to it. It said, you will say, thou, O Lord, has promised concerning this place to cut it off, so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. He said, when you finish saying that, throw the scroll into the water and then say, thus shall Babylon go down, sink down, and not rise again. Now, what am I going to bring out here? That's what prayer is. Prayer is not just getting up and just saying anything you like. You know, a lot of people pray all night and God wonders what they are talking about. And once God doesn't know what you are talking about, the prayer is ineffective. What do you mean? What are they talking about? If it's not based upon that which he has said, it doesn't move according to those prayers. That's what real prayer is. That's why the Bible says, watch your steps when you approach the presence of God. It said, draw near to listen. That's the first thing you do. You first go and hear. It's not possible to pray effectively until you have heard instructions from above. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. There are two ways to get instruction. Number one is through simply attending to the word of God. What I mean is this. When, for example, somebody is teaching now, you are listening. As I'm speaking, I will have said something here and there that connects with your spirit. And you know, that's exactly what God is saying about you. And that's what you use to pray. Prayer is not just, hey, God, you have seen me. You have seen me. I will not remain the same. This year has come. Another year has come. God, you have seen me. God said, fine. Thanks. I get the point. I've seen you. So? Another year has come. He said, listen, you are the one that said another year has come. He said, Pastor, what God do you mean? Look, have you ever asked yourself? When you say hexagon, septagon, you heard of things like that before? Septagon has how many sides? Seven. Octagon has how many sides? How come October is the 10th month of the year? And September is the 9th month of the year. You know the reason? Because originally the year used to start in March. March 1st was when the year used to change. January was the 11th month of the year. February being the last month of the year. What am I saying? A new year has begun, January 1st. That's your opinion. You can't use that to harass God into manifestation. That's what I'm trying to explain. You can't. It's your opinion. Yeah, the one that needs a new year. Believe me, God doesn't think so. You can start your year anytime you like. It's your personal problem. The Jewish year does not start January 1st. I hope you're getting my point. That's why, you know, we make a religion. Cross overnight. This last crossover night, I went to church just because my wife harassed me. Because we're not in town, we traveled. So I said, we're not going to church. I said, I want to sleep. We're not going to church. I said, okay, I want to sleep. So my friend said, Frank, we're not going to church. I said, Topsy, guys, can't I just sleep? But of course, the consensus was that we are all going to church. So I had to agree and enter the church. It was a nice show. I mean, the pastor preached very well, and that man, he teaches all the time. And you were there. The message had nothing to do with the end of the year or beginning of the year. The man just spoke about ability to for concentrate. He just preached something. At the end of the day, we now count down to 0, 8, 10, 9 seconds. Hey, happy new year, fireworks. 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. Fireworks. After that, we all went home. Think anything changed because you were in church that night? For information, by that time, is it people in Hong Kong had done 7 hours into the new year? What am I saying? You don't harass God at the beginning of a new year. You know, it's your opinion. What if I said that the year is going to end in October? What are you going to do? Just by the way, for with God, what he counts as seasons. Are you getting my point? What did I say? Seasons, not years. What I mean by seasons, that let's take an example. General life, there's youth period, all right? There's a season you are in your youth period.
And whether the year changes or not, that doesn't change what God expects you to do in that season. When that season is over, you'd better have finished all the things you're supposed to do in that season. All right? And same thing with ministry. Life has seasons. You're in school, as an example. There's a season, all right? In fact, school doesn't graduate just because you've been there for 6 years. They don't, or 4 years, depending on the course you're studying. You have to fulfill a number of requirements. If you do it in 4 years, you can go. If you don't finish it in 4 years, you come back. When you finally finish it, you go. Now, if at the end of 8 years, you have not yet finished satisfying the requirements, they decide that you are not ready to do it at all, then they tell you to cuckoo go without any certificate. That is, they are now counting years. What are they counting? Seasons. When you have completed a purpose, that's when you move from one season into the next. That's how God judges time, all right? Doesn't count years, all right? Okay, good. This is how your seasons change. Your seasons change when God brings you into a new discovery and then you begin to use that one to pray. Listen, it's the ability to see greater things that actually change your season. Let me say this. I've said it again and again. You know what sin is? Sin is a poison. What did I call it? Poison. What sin does is that it blinds you. You can't see properly. If you don't see properly, you can't pray effectively. Are you getting my point? This is how men's seasons change. And listen, don't wait till the end of the year to change your season. Every day, you walk towards the change of your season. And how do you do that? You constantly purge yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As you are being purged, your eyes become clearer. As your eyes get clearer, you see better. As you see better, you pray more effectively. And then your seasons change. Are you getting my point? And then when you are in a particular season of good now, you perform all the functions in that season, because until you finish it, you can't move into the next. Let me give you an example. I want to use myself as an example. You know, we normally take our breaking down word in November, December, and then we'll come back in January, today being the first day for this year. Now, usually before we come back, I pray and check inside me that, is there anything different that I'm supposed to be doing? I will discover it here and there, all right? But this time, like I said during the co-workers meeting this morning, I said I've not seen anything different that we're supposed to be doing. So we'll continue exactly what we're doing. Now, this is what I'm bringing out. Ministry has phases. I learned this from studying Kenneth Hagin. And the Lord will appear to him and tell him that the first few years you were in ministry, you were not doing anything. You are about to step into the first phase of your ministry. And I tell him, after that, you will go into doing this. And then I will appear in another vision to you. It was a prophet. So many years after, he will see another vision. And God will tell him that you're about to step into the second phase of your ministry. Now, if you will do this, do that, at a particular time, this kind of anointing will come upon you to abide. Before that, in that particular phase, it was coming and going. And you will experience it maybe once in 4 years. So, but that anointing you used to experience maybe once in 4 years, once in 2 years, a time will come where it will come and settle upon you and abide. That's another phase of ministry. And they will tell you that when you do this, that's the last phase of your ministry. You will continue. Now, what I'm going to bring up from there is this. You see that ministry has phases. I'm using myself as an example. In the phase that I'm in right now, all right, I have located what I'm supposed to be doing. So if you see, I do the same thing all the time. And I keep on telling you, I won't do this forever. Every Saturday I'm here. I'm writing books. Every Saturday I'm here. Right now we have about 60 MP3 titles, you know, different CDs, MP3s. Because the main job is banking. Just keep teaching. Just keep teaching. Just keep teaching. Listen, the truths of God are eternal. All right? There are books I read that were written over 100 years ago. There are messages, all right, I connect with that were preached more than 70 years ago. And the words are just so relevant today. Are you getting my point? So I keep churning out. That's my own phase. Now, a time will come when God will look and say, good, you have preached all, you have taught everything I wanted to teach in this season. You have finished teaching it. Now we'll go into the next phase. This is what I'm making. As long as I delay, are you getting my point? We're not moving to the next phase. God may say, okay, I've given you all these titles to teach. Yeah, there are maybe 200 of them. You are sitting on number 85. Oh boy, you have 115 to go. So I keep laboring. And now, it may not be this clear, because that's what God does. His own is, what he practices is faithfulness. And faithfulness just means that which I've placed into your hand today. Let me just say this again, by the way, and I'm digressing. Don't compete with people. You hear what I said? Don't compete with people. I was watching TV a few days ago. I saw a man. He may not be my age mate, but indeed he was my classmate. I was watching TV a few days ago, and I saw him. I shouted for my wife, come and see, come and see. I sent a text to the numbers that you see on the screen. All right? The text was very personal. I know normally those numbers are handled by staff, ministry staff. But the way I wrote the text, I said, I'm sure this they will give this text to the man. The wife called me this evening. So we chatted, and I realized that the kind of he's been in ministry for a very long time. I mean, when I say long time now, this church started then, decided it around 1992. Okay? Now, this is what I'm making. He has churches all over the, you know, south part of Nigeria, right? And then the wife told him that they are traveling today, tomorrow. They are going to the church, they have a branch in Texas, started in December. They want to go there and see, you know, stuff like that. And this and that. I saw him on TV. I saw Pastor Ayo in his church preaching and all of that. And you know, this is the interesting part. I was so excited. I was telling her that, oh, you guys have done a lot of watching. I asked him, so how are you doing? You know, studies, they asked about ministries. And so I began to tell him about what, now this point I'm making. There are a lot of branches here and there and all of that. Then when it was Banky's turn to talk, what exactly do you do? I teach radio, TV. I write a lot of books. I told her the number of books we have out and all of that. What do I say? The main thing I do is I teach and I output the teachings. Do you get my point? I don't minister to people personally. I don't do counseling. I don't lay hands on people. You understand? And it's not as if it's forbidden, but it's not today. I have a special anointing to turn your head around. Have you ever seen me do that? All right? There's nothing wrong with it if you can. I don't do that. Now, this is what I mean. There are people who say, this guy was my classmate. His church has 75 branches. Do you know, until I started preaching it to you right now, it didn't cross my mind. All I just told her was, you guys have done a lot of work. Just encourage them, just talked on the phone, all right? You know, we're classmates in school, so talked about friends, this person, where is he, where is she, how is she doing, how is he doing, you know, just talk, okay. And so, I'm so happy to know you're in ministry and all of that, you know. He was talking to me, and at the end of the day, we hung up the phone, we reconnected, we haven't seen, I saw him last 99, okay? That's, it will be 11 years this May. We've reconnected. He's going his own way and doing the work of God. I'm doing my own and doing the work of God. The problem with people, why a lot of people die young, let me tell you, is that they can't focus because on their own thing because they think that what somebody else is doing is more glorious. Yet, there are a lot of people who founded churches. It's the reason why they won't live longer. God, you see, I tell believers, don't let ignorance control your life. You must be informed. I read enough of people like Kenneth Hagin and the instructions that God gave them. All right? That I know not to do some things. I read enough that I'm careful. I don't compete with people. Do you understand my point? There are those that say, Banky is teaching on radio. Me too, I can take you on radio. Okay, God said that the day you say praise the Lord on air, the beginning of the end of your ministry. But he doesn't think about it like that. He said, Pastor Banky, how do I know the right thing to do? Simple. Let me tell you what. All right? It's very simple. Just have the right motivation. Are you getting my point? If it is envy and jealousy, Holy Spirit will not come and tell you, don't do it. He will leave you to do it. If it was in sincerity, that's when the Holy Spirit will come and say, oh boy, I have not sent you to do that one. And they are different ways. They can speak to you directly. When Joseph wanted to drive away, what's her name? Mary, in sincerity, angel showed up at night. Said, no, you can't. Because the Bible said he was a just man. He was a good man. When you start doing things with competition, you know, I've said it, you know, the world, they know how to send you on the errand that God did not send you. Your mates have built houses. Is the reason why you will never do anything effective in your life again. Suddenly you say, my mills have built houses. Then you go and buy land you can't afford. All the good work that you were doing before, you stop it because now you have to lay foundation. Why? Your mates have built houses. God said, I gave you a good landlord and a good house. But they told you your mates have built houses. They told you your mates have married. They told you your mates. I always said, no. Once you open your mouth and say your mate, I'll correct you. I don't have any mate. I have told that to my mother before. Not more than once. I keep reminding everybody, I don't have any mate. I don't have. We're born the same day, doesn't make us mates. We are the same age, does not make us mates. We are from the same area, does not make us mates. When my mother was conceiving me, he didn't tell your father. So we can't be mates. Are you out of your mind? We can't be mates. When I was giving my life to Christ, you were not there. So we are not mates. When God created me, my mother's womb, you were not there. We are not mates. And there's nothing like, look at your younger one. They have done better than you. According to whose standard? He said, God is not slow as some count slowness. People can count the way they like. Are you getting my point? I keep on telling people, 80 years after I left school, I didn't own a car. It never moved me. I'm a medical doctor. It did not move me. They said, why don't you have? I remember one sister once, we went for Bible study together. She said, Pastor Mark, how come you don't have a car? I said, because I don't have the money. Are you out of your mind? You need revelation to know that the reason why I have not bought it is because there's no money. Okay, go and fast and pray. God will reveal to you why I don't have. If you want me to tell you, I'll tell you simply. It's cash. I prayed about it and left it there. And I tell people, that's why till today, car is not a headache for me. I have driven different kinds of cars now. I have bought cars to dash people. So it's not, I've crossed the stage. In fact, the commandment of my life right now is that God has said, Banky, thou shalt not buy a car that is old. No, really. This, I'm very, very careful. There are cars that if I want to buy, and I know God will take it from me by force. Not as if it's bad. The season has passed. In the same manner, I say it all the time, the season will come in which we build a house, we live in it. After 5 years, we'll get tired and say, this house has become too small for me. Therefore, Lord, we shall move to a bigger one. There are times you pray, dear Lord, supply. That God will say, you know, God, Moses turned to God. Dear Lord, Moses said, what are you praying about? He said, the Egyptians. He said, what is that in your hand? He said, your rod. Divide the water and keep on moving. You know? And that's what God said. He said, Moses, why are you crying to me? A time will come. God will look and say, Banky, if I hear you pray about house, I shall ask you, what is that in your account? I shall say money. Then take it and build one. It's a season. Are you getting more than I say? Let nobody worry you. Be chasing people that God did not put you on the same race. You are playing rugby. They are playing soccer. What thing concern you? Okay, use hand. Alright, maybe you are the one playing football now, soccer. Use hand to collect the ball because your mate has collected, you know. You are watching them. You know, to score in rugby, what do? You carry the ball, put them for your armpit. Begin to run and cross the line. They say touchdown. Americans, you say. In American football. If you say, my friends, they've scored 5 touchdowns because it's called football. But you didn't know that they said American football. So when you enter the pitch, Nigeria versus Egypt, Angola 2010. You say, look at it. Egypt has scored 3 goals. Meanwhile, my friend in America, all right, playing American football, he has scored 6 touchdowns. Then you grab the ball. No, referee won't waste time. He won't even blow whistle. Just bring out the red card on the right hand, one on the left hand, then use leg to effect his red card. Because you were crazy enough to be watching your friend who's playing American football when you're supposed to be playing English football. In English football, except you're the goalkeeper, you don't touch the ball. That's what we do. That's what we do. Otherwise, let me get back to the matter of seasons. Otherwise, if you're not competing with people and God gave you what to do for each season, you will do it effectively until you have completed that season, then God moves you to another level in his time. Please, let me get back to my main message. I hope you are learning something here and there. So this is what the point I'm making. This is how the word of God works. If it's going to transform anything, your life, your body, your academics, your society, your profession, whatever it is that God's word is going to transform, first, it transforms you so that you can see clearly. Are you getting my point? And then you declare according to that which you have seen. Listen, the earth does not respond directly anymore to the word of God, except it is filtered through the spirits and the mouths of the people of God. So Amos said, surely the Lord God does nothing until he reveals his secrets, his counsel to his servants, the prophets. And when you hear the word prophet, please. No, I tried to explain it. I'm not talking about prophetic office. The body of Christ, no. Abraham was called a prophet. Jacob was called a prophet. And the man in between them, Isaac, was called a prophet. And they had 12 descendants. Because he said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Who are prophets? They are the people that have a special purpose of God running in their lives. They are the people that God revealed his counsel to. He said, if they had been in counsel with me, that's what God said, they would have known what to say. That is, when I pray, when I study the word of God, there are things about my life that I discover. That's what makes me a prophet. I may not be a prophet over somebody else's life because I don't know what God is doing in your life. I can be a priest, I can be a brother, I can be a minister, I can agree with you, and I can be an instructor. You get my point? With the word of God. Like Paul said, you can't have many fathers, but you can have many teachers. So I can be a teacher. I fine-tune your spirit with the teaching of the word of God so that you can discover your own prophetic office. Do you understand my point? You will see exactly what God is saying about your life. And then you start talking according to that. Let me end with this. What Satan tries to do is to persuade you otherwise. Great ideas, great visions, they will come your way. And then it starts rising. You know, I was watching on CNBC Africa. They were just history of great enterprises, talking about Walmart. And one of the men that counseled Sam Walton, Walton, all right? Okay. One of the men who told him that what you want to do, this is your discount shops will not work, was interviewed. He's an old man. And I said, I told him that it couldn't work. But it has worked. Was explaining to him that the Walmart, the Walton family, they are the richest people on the earth. Individually, they may not be number one. But when you look at and that's because their father's wealth was broken amongst his children. If you put it together into what their father had as a block, they are richer than Bill Gates, they are richer than Warren Buffett, they are richer than Slim from Mexico, they are richer. What am I trying to say? What Satan tries to do is to persuade you. And listen, I said this before, let me say it again. We are not saying faith means you are just rash and foolish. Let me say it again. I like to say this, in fact. I like to quote that quote from my mouth. If what you are doing is foolish to you, believe me, it is indeed foolish. And God is not there. Faith is only foolish to the man observing you from outside. To you that's doing the faith work, all right? What you are doing is reasonable. I like to tell the story again and again about David and Goliath. When David was going to kill Goliath, it was a reasonable issue. He did not think there was a chance in a million that Goliath would kill him. It is you and I now that think that was risky. He said, bros, that was risky. Do you know, if we all sat down and talked with David before he went, he probably would have believed us and not gone. But because we're not there to explain to him that boys don't kill lions and don't kill bears, say, but I've done it before, saying that one I just now your dream. When David was going to kill Goliath, please, I like to say it again and again. He was so sure he would kill Goliath. Are you getting my point? If what you are doing is foolish to you, it is foolish. Foolishness is when what you are doing is foolish to you. Faith is when what you are doing is foolish to others. Are you getting my point? Like I said before, the Bible said the cross is foolishness, all right? The foolishness of God is wiser than men, all right? Let me ask you a question. Did God think that the cross was foolish? It is human beings that thought it was foolish. It was the devil that thought it was foolish. To the God orchestrating the events of the cross, that was the wisdom of God in operation. So when Samuel Walton wanted to do his discount stores, it made sense to him. Are you getting my point? To him, he did what? It made sense. So that's why, you see, there's a difference between stubbornness and being of faith. A stubborn man is a man who won't listen to reason. A man of faith is a man that has listened to reason and has better reasons why those reasons are not correct. Do you get my point? Let me say it again. A stubborn man is man, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. You know, this kind of, don't worry, don't worry. Why shouldn't I worry? Just don't worry. Why not? Just don't worry. That's a foolish man. All right? A man of faith is a man that says, when I say don't worry, he say yes, we shouldn't worry. He say, why shouldn't we worry? Can't you see there's earthquake in Haiti? He say, you know, God said something which I have proven from personal experience, that even though the young lions suffer hunger and lack, those that fear the Lord will never lack anything good. And to him is a real thing. Are you getting my point? He's not trying to just not worry. He has a good reason. To him, the word of God is tangible reason. Let me give an example. See here, I'm a lucky man. All right? And I expect to be lucky. And I know I will always be lucky. And let me, if I say it sounds funny. Do you know, I bank on that, in quote, luck, to bring good things my way. It's not a game of chance. No, luck is not a matter of chance. Luck just means I'm blessed. Because I'm blessed, I'm going to get lucky. Are you getting my point? When they will say, there are 25 ways these things can go wrong out of 30. The 5 ways that they can go right out of 30, that's my portion. That's where I reason. That's the way I reason. Not because I'm a fatalist. It's because I'm persuaded that I'm a blessed man. I interpret things in such a manner sometimes that if you don't understand my faith, you think something's wrong with me. God can dash, well, maybe 1,000 in a place, and they give everybody, dash everybody money, 100,000 naira, 1,000 of us. The way I reason is that I needed 100,000 naira, so God gave all everybody around me 100,000, that I might get 100,000. And I'll be looking at all of you that if you knew who it was that was with you, all of you should give me a portion of your 100,000 because it is because of me you are receiving it. No, and that, you know, I'm not joking. I feel like that. No, really. I feel like that because I know I'm a blessed man. That thing to me is real. Do you get my point? If I maybe I need to buy something, and I'm sure I need it. The money I have is a certain amount. Let's assume it's supposed to be maybe 200,000 naira. All I have is 110,000. I'm just sure somebody will sell it for 110. I just start waiting. That don't worry. They will soon sell it for 110. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. It just won't happen. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Somebody can call it foolish, but to me, believe me, it's what? Real and tangible. Please, I hope what I'm saying, I hope it's clear to you. Let me just summarize the main thing I said today, all right? Because I've said many things here and there. What I was saying is that, you see, when God reveals things to you as a person, that is what forms the platform of your own prayer. Are you getting my point? We like to pray too much nebulous prayers. You know what I mean? Prayers that don't have meaning. Just pray, you know, just stay all night. God, look at me. I have suffered for this long. How long shall this suffering continue? Are you not my God? You cannot let this continue. God said, wait. From the day it started, I was never in agreement with it. So what have I said today, all right? This is the point I've made. That it's, when I started by the show of hearing and hearing, taking the word of God seriously, and that your life will not suddenly turn around because you whine and complain and grumble, but that the word of God will only become effective after it's been filtered through your spirit and through your mouth, and that the ability to discover the word of God is related to purification of yourself. And so what you spend most of your time doing in prayer, except you have a tangible thing, all right, is purification of self. What God does there every day, and I said before, why we walk as Christians? We don't walk because we want money. We don't walk because without that walk, we won't get food to eat. No. The main reason why we walk, two reasons. Number one, that's not what I'm talking about much today. Number one reason is because we have to be a blessing to somebody else. And number two, that it's in your encounter with people, every day rubbing shoulders here and there with people and with the environment, that you discover the uneven parts of yourself. And that gives you the opportunity and the privilege to confess those things out and purify yourself, that God may make your eyes clearer, and then you'll be able to see more things. And the last thing I said was that according to your ability to see, all right, that's how you prophesy effectively. And when we say prophesy, it's not just about, hey, thus says the Lord. It can be simple things like, we can do it. And you're talking about business. And that's a prophecy. Well, please, listen. Please, I'm not starting again. Christians, watch what you say. Are you getting my point? Every word from your mouth is a prophecy. So they bring the proposal out. This is the kind of business you want to do. You just look and say, we can do it. And do you know your ability to say we can do it? One of the mistakes we make as Christians is that we want to go and learn how to confess. Hey, I believe that we can do it. Amen. I just know that we can do it. That's, you are trying to persuade yourself. You are not yet persuaded. Are you getting my point? The we can do it that works, that's real prophecy, is the one that comes out of conviction. And that's what I'm saying. The ability to say it. Please, if you haven't read that book, go and read it. How Great Faith Can Be Yours. That book. That my book. The ability to say we can do it is not something you force yourself into. It's something that comes to you automatically when certain things are in place. For example, if your heart is pure, you're not a rogue, you're not covetous, you want to be a blessing to people, you want to manifest the gifts of God in you, and therefore you think of a line of business or enterprise. And people say it's not possible, and you look and say, we can do it. It is not because you are not seeing what they are seeing. It's because God, looking at your heart, opened your eyes to see what they can't see. The problem is Christians, they have become too spiritual, in quotes. You know what I mean by spiritual? Everything that when they go, they say, is it possible? They say, hey, Shamama, the Lord said, yes, 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 it can be done, it can be done. Why not, my children? It can be done. The prophet is not the engineer. What's his problem? Go away with your shmushmushmu. Go away. Let the engineer who has a prophetic insight. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. He will look and say, this machine can be invented. It can be done. Why? In his brain, circuits are being drawn. I don't know whether you heard me. In his brain, all right, he's already cutting the kind of steel they will need. In his brain, he knows the kind of lubricant they will need to overcome these things people are saying. So he just says, it can be done. And no matter how he tries to explain, because the other people have not yet gotten that clarity of spirit, they won't be able to until he does it. Then they will now say, why did you do it? He will now begin to show it to them. I want Christians to stop being spiritual. I don't know what I can go on to explain. We are too spiritual. You know what I mean by spiritual now? When there's an issue, all we think is that, like somebody said, we like magic. What is magic? Take it. Take it. Take it is good. It has its own place. Amen? You can't just say, take a businessman. Take idea. No. I don't know what I don't know what I get my point. You can preach to him. You can enlighten his heart, his eyes. then he will go home and discover. And when he says it can be done, he's not trying to be spiritual. He's just persuaded. I'm ending with that persuasion, all right, that utterance, following that persuasion is what? Prophesying. Oh, gosh. He's doing what? He's prophesying. He's prophesying. And he's saying with conviction. And that's why I said, look, be careful. Don't let life, my time is up, all right? But one of the things, let me just drop it as I go. When you have challenges that you cannot find the proper words to prophesy appropriately about, you know what James said? It's time to pray. No, you just go home. When there's nobody there, take a Bible, kneel down, and please, I've told you before, with God, don't speak, you know what I mean? This big English. You know what I mean by big English? Oh Lord, I just approach unto thy throne. I know thou art there. Thou art infallible. Thou art unsleepable. It's not necessary. Just say, God, I beg. Serious issue day. I invested $1.5 million in this project. At the beginning, I was persuaded these things will work. At this point, there's a risk I might lose my money. And no, I don't think it's right. Because in my heart, I was passed. And this is the reason why I want to do this thing. Why am I about to lose my money? Because this is happening. I don't know how to go beyond this level. I need wisdom. That's prayer. Don't spiritualize it. No, never spiritualize it. Hey, Father, I just worship you around this problem. I'm magnifying thy name because thy name are most holy in the presence of difficulty. It's true, but that's not the English you normally speak. Say, Lord, why I have come to you is because no human wisdom that I have can solve this. And I know that where all human wisdoms fail, your own wisdom will overcome. I know there is a wisdom that when you pray the right prayers, you will know how to give proper testimonies and thank God effectively. That's when you will rise up as you are eating. Suddenly an idea will drop in your mind. Say, I knew it. You won't be able to finish the food. Remember the story of Eureka? I found it. It's Eureka. I found it. Your wife will come and say, what is going on? Say, hey, baby, I'm coming. You enter your car. Say, where your trouser? Okay, I'm sorry. So you get the trouser. Where did it? Enter into the car. You are running to the office. You are running to go and talk to somebody. Yes. This is how we are going to do it. Why? Because there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty just gave him that understanding. I think one of my assignments in life is to help Christians to stop being spiritual. You know what I'm trying to say? Let them be real. Let them be real with God. And they will discover his power working in their lives. Have I said anything today? I hope you've learned something. All right, if that's the case, let's just give the Lord thanks.